You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 11. Have you know that we've been teaching on Hebrews 11 for several weeks now on Wednesday nights? And if you're not aware, what I normally do is teach series on Wednesday nights. I'll teach different series on Sunday mornings. And the reason for that is that you just have a different crowd, as it were. Most Wednesday night people, they're Sunday morning, but you don't have most Sunday morning people in church Wednesday night. So I used to just teach the series right on through and thought, well, you know, if they don't come, they just missed out. But really that's not fair because there's all kinds of reasons why people don't come. And so I don't want a choppy series where I'm teaching Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. Then the Sunday morning crowd gets every other one. You know, so if they went back and got the CDs, they would get 2, 4, 6, and 8 because they heard 1, 3, 5, and 7. Are you out there? It makes sense if you think it through, really. So, you know, years ago, I thought, well, you know, why don't I just teach Wednesday night series and I'll teach Sunday morning series? I mean, what's wrong with that? Nothing in the world wrong with that. So we've been teaching along that way lines for years, and actually the last few weeks we've been teaching on faith. What the Bible says about faith from Hebrews 11. I mean, 5 or 6 messages, I think, on just that subject alone. And we've just gotten down to now the 13th verse. Some nights we got one verse, some nights we got two. But tonight I want to cover maybe 2 or 3, if we have time, and talk to you about characteristics or attributes of faith. In other words, what does it look like? What does someone that's believing God look like? What do they sound like? If I'm believing God and I am trusting God, what's different about that as opposed to me not believing God and not trusting God? What's the difference in my attitude of mind? What characteristics about me and how I talk and the way I think from when I'm believing as opposed to when I'm not believing?
Say confident.
Confident, yeah. Faith is a confidence. It's a courage. It's, you know, it's an assurance. You could think of it that way. Faith is to be secure and sure and confident. Especially facing the future, you know, with all the unknowns out there, we do have one that is known. We know that God is still the same. He's a known. He's never an unknown with us. And so no matter what the future holds, there's a lot of unknowns out there, but there's one huge known that you and I have as Christians, as believers, and that is God. And then you could go a step further and say we have His Word. His Word is a known. That's not an unknown. His promises are known. They're not unknown. And so whatever happens, although we don't know everything that's going to happen, this we do know. This we do know. We know God's still the same. We know His Word is still true. And we know He has promises that cover our situation if we're willing to dig in there and look. Amen? So that much we do know. And you should never let what you don't know keep you from doing what you do know. You know, a lot of times I just get in a situation, I don't know, I don't know what to do, I don't know what, but you know, if I start thinking, there are some things I do know that no situation changes. I do know to trust God. I do know to call on God. I do know to pray and seek His face. I do know that. No matter what happens, I know that. So nothing out here I don't know should keep me from doing what I do know. Amen? The known. And so faith acts on what it knows. Faith is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Faith is not just a taste, you know, a subjective thing. You know, everybody has different tastes. They like this food, that color, or these kind of shows or those kind of shows or whatever, you know. I mean, that's why they call them chick flicks, you know, because they're women like those kind of shows. Men have a hard time watching chick flicks. Just, you know, it's just that's an emotional thing. That's just a subjective thing. But faith's not that way. You know, well, you believe something, I believe something, everybody believes something different. No, faith's not that way. Faith is an objective thing, not a subjective thing. Faith has an object that it believes. So we're not just believing anything. We're believing the Word. We're believing what is written. I believe, therefore have I spoken. Well, it is written. I believe, therefore have I spoken. It's what the Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We all have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, number one, that's it. It's got to be written. I believe, therefore have I spoken. You know, you often see stickers that say, God said it, I believe, and that settles it. Well, true and not true. It settles it for you, but it doesn't settle it for God. It will settle it when He said it. God said it, it's settled. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven and earth. But it's not settled for you until you believe it. Are you with me? That part is true. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. For God, it's already settled. And so all I'm doing when I believe, I'm not making up stuff. I'm not just thinking about what I want and go out and get it. I'm standing on what God said. Faith is based on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, Romans 10:17. It doesn't come by wanting and wanting hard enough. It doesn't come from desire and desiring it strong enough. No, it comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So people talk about different faiths. Well, our faith is based on something solid. It's based on God's Word. You may want something, and you want God may promise it. But the reason you're going to get it is not because you want it. It's because God promised it. You may want something and God doesn't promise. And you can believe all you want to, and you're not going to get it because God doesn't promise it. Yeah, there are some things God does not promise. He does not. You cannot go after another man's wife. You cannot go after another woman's husband. You cannot get in faith and believe for that. You can't say in Jesus' name all day long. It won't work. Because that's not a promise. That's not something you can stand on. Are you with me? You can't believe God to burn down the abortion clinic. He's not going to do that. He's not going to burn down the abortion clinic. Are you out there? It may be wrong what they're doing, and it is. It's murder. Abortion is murder. I'm against it. With every fiber of my being, it's wrong all the way through. But I can't pray that God would burn it down. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one time and says, we went to this one city, they didn't receive us. What shall we do? Shall we call fire down like Elijah did? That's what they said. And Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. You know, it's interesting, and we can pull out a lot of Old Testament scriptures, and I think there's answers for all that. We don't have time to get into it tonight. I believe the flow of the Bible always points to Jesus, either way you look at it. But if you go through Jesus' life, not a prophet, not a Moses or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or a Daniel, not just a good man, we're talking God in the flesh, Jesus, the most accurate, concise representative of God that's ever been on the earth, God, Emmanuel, God with us. If you follow Him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the one who is called the express image of God's person, the one who said, who's seen me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The one that said, I came only to do the will of Him that sent me. The one that said that I only do those things I see my Father do. If you follow Him, He didn't burn anybody's house down. You know, He didn't start any storms. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't make anybody sick. And He was not just a prophet. He was God in the flesh. Wow. Strong stuff. Amen. So from looking at Jesus, we get an idea of what our faith is based on. It's based on what Jesus is and who He is and what He does and what He said and what God's Word tells us. Hallelujah. Solid thing. Amen? Amen. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 13, after it lists all these men and women of faith, and we went over individually, we talked about Abel, we talked about Enoch, we talked about Noah, we talked about Abraham, and talked about Sarah. In great detail, actually. Took whole messages on just each character almost on some of the sessions. It says these all died in faith, 13th verse, not having received the promises. Now that's interesting because they did receive promises. The whole point that they made was what they got. They saved their family. Are you with me? They sojourned in the land of promise. Enoch was translated. What's he talking about? Well, they never got saved because Jesus hadn't come yet. They all died not having received the promise of eternal life. You say, well, are you sure about it? Yeah, look at the 39th verse, 11th chapter, 39th, 40th verse. It says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now he gets down to it. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, they weren't perfected because Jesus hadn't come yet. And they were not perfected. They weren't perfected without us. God having some better thing prepared for us, and he's talking new covenant after the resurrection, it's the book of Hebrews, the promise of eternal life, the promise of righteousness even that was promised to Abraham, didn't take place till after Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Now, they received a lot from God, and it lists many things that they did, but that they didn't receive because nobody could be saved till Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. But it didn't hinder them. It didn't stop them from serving God because of how far away that thing was. You know, now we think about that in a long-term sense. You might think about heaven. You shouldn't be slow to serve God because heaven may be a long ways away for you. You may live a lot longer. I don't know. Jesus may come today. I don't know. You may live to be 100. You may live to be 101. Rufus is 101 right now. But it shouldn't slow you down from serving God, stop you from serving God just because you haven't experienced that thing yet. It may be far off, but faith assures you of it, that it is there. Amen? And just like you were to stand on God's word for anything, some things happen pretty quick. Some things take a week or two. Some things take a month or a year. Some things take a lifetime. Some things you won't experience till after you die. We talk about heaven all the time, but you're not gonna get there till you die. Only two ways you're going to make that one: rapture, death. Two ways. One of the two. And I'm hoping for that rapture. Are you with me? But if perchance Jesus tarries and I go on before the rapture, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, here it says, these all died in faith. They were believing when they died, just like you and I will be believing when we die. If Jesus tarries, we'll be believing, still believing to the day we die, believing in heaven, believing in the hope of heaven. Hallelujah. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. Now, these are characteristics of faith. Faith always sees something afar off. Faith has longer vision, better eyesight. You ever been around somebody just seemed like they could spot something way off? Yeah, I like to hunt, you know, and I'm with certain guys. They can just spot a deer, and I'm thinking, wow, how did you see that deer? And I had to look, even after pointing it out, because it's so far away, or it's, you know, behind a tree, or some anomaly, something, you know, the flat back of the deer caught their eye as opposed to the shapes of the tree. Just some little thing caught their eye, and their vision, they could see further than I could. Are you with me? And sometimes I've seen something that took me forever to point out to someone else where it was. Well, faith is that way. Faith sees things that others don't. Faith sees further than others see. Without faith, you can't hardly get through a day. You can't hardly see till tomorrow. And you sure can't see next week and next year. But faith will cause you to see further than today. It'll cause you to see next week. It'll cause you to see next year. And you know what? It'll cause you to see it with confidence. I like that. Confidence. You'll have confidence concerning what you see next year. A lot of people, the Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear of what's come upon the earth. Well, we don't have to fear what's come upon the earth, because we know our Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. And when we see things coming on the earth that the Bible prophesies, we lift our heads because our redemption draws nigh. It speaks a different message to us. It means Jesus is coming. It means we're getting closer. You know, instead of fear and trepidation, you know, and dismay and discouragement, we get excited. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is coming. Woo! Amen. So it says, these all die in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I know a lot of things may need to change. I know Maurice and Teresa are talking about things in their life and prospects in their life, jobs and so on and so forth. But the only way you can make it through the trial, through the test, through the obstacle, through the crisis, is to see down the road, to see hope, to see a silver lining on this cloud somewhere. And faith will give you that. Faith will cause that to happen. If you start trusting God, I'll tell you what, your sorrows, you can kiss them goodbye. Amen. Your dismay, you can roll back the clouds of darkness, hallelujah, and watch them roll, watch them go. Let the light come in, hallelujah. Peace will come and joy will come because you see something that others don't see. That's right. See? You see further. They can't see past this. But you see past this. Faith will cause you in every case to see past the problem. Amen. All the way to the answer. All the way to the promise. Amen? Amen. So it says, having seen them afar off. Now listen. It says, because we're going to chew on this, okay? Everybody say chew on it. Chew on it. I don't want y'all to swallow this stuff whole. I want you to digest this and chew on this. You heard your parents tell you that when you grew up. Man, I used to choke on bananas. I had an aunt in Silsby, Texas, Aunt Ethel. No, Aunt Mabel, excuse me. Ethel was her sister. Ethel and Mabel. Those are my aunts. But anyway, Aunt Mabel always had bananas. She just had a lot of bananas at her house. And we'd go down and see her when we lived in Center. We'd go down to Silsby, which is around Beaumont, Texas. But anyway, we'd go in there and we'd spend a couple days down there. My dad would take us down there, you know, and I was just a kid, and she just had, she said, "Boys, y'all just eat all the bananas you want. Just go right ahead." Man, I was just stuffing them in there, and I almost choke. I'd eat so many of them, you know, because I just swallowed them whole. I wasn't really chewing them. I was so excited about having so many bananas, one in each hand, two in my mouth, you know. And I'd get sick just eating so many of them, but, you know, just not really, not even getting the benefit of it, just choking on it. And I need to slow down and chew bite-sized and digest that. Amen. I think sometimes the word's that way. You know, I know just reading a whole bunch is not going to answer your questions if you don't take time to meditate. I read all every day, but also when I'm studying, I'm slowing down, man. I just slow it down and just take it word by word. And I'll take a scripture if I'm trying to get it. Sometimes I'll read a scripture and I sense in my spirit there's something there. I don't know if you ever had that. It's the Holy Ghost trying to tell you that. And I'm trying to get it. Just I'll read it and I go, man, there's something. I'm missing something. So I go back and read it again, you know. I've heard Norval Hayes say this. Anybody heard of Norval Hayes? Yeah. Norval Hayes was a character. He's still around, excuse me. But he would tell people, I'd see him minister to people, and he would quote a scripture to someone, and they would, and he says, in fact, one lady in particular, he was telling her she needed a miracle in her life, and he says, well, the Bible says that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith. What you need to do is say what God says, and you'll get that miracle. And she says, well, I don't know. Well, just read the scripture, lady. Just say the scripture. I mean, he was just real rough. That's just normal, you know. And he'd lean up. We took him out to eat one time in Alvin, Texas, and I was watching him. The service is over, and he was still ministering to the one lady in particular. And anyway, this other lady, he said, now read it. And she read it, and, well, I don't know. Well, read it again, lady. Read it again. Read it again. And she'd read it out loud, and he had her read it like four or five times. And finally she goes, oh, I get it. Yeah, I got it. And he's going, yeah, I knew you'd get it. I knew you'd get it. You just need to read it again. That's all. And sometimes we just need to read it again. I find myself sometimes taking a verse like, these all died in the faith. I'll emphasize each word, you know. Read it over and say, these all died in faith. These people he just talked about. These all died in faith. All of them, every one of them. And not just each word, you know. Sometimes you get revelation that way. Just slow down sometimes. You just need to slow down sometimes and read it and let it jump at you. So it says that faith sees afar off. And then it says concerning them who believed, by faith they did this, by faith they did that. That's established. It says, and were persuaded of them. Now, what did they see afar off? The promise, because it says these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Many of the promises they didn't receive because Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. But nonetheless, they saw them, and they saw them afar off. It didn't, you know, it didn't stop them. In fact, they saw something nobody else saw. The world didn't see what they saw. What was that? They saw the promise. The world doesn't see the promise. When you're trusting God, the world doesn't see the promise. Many times the world thinks you're crazy when you talk about Jesus and talk about healing and talk about getting out of this mess and smile on your face, and they think you're just lost it, you know. The Looney Tunes, they want to send you off to Terrell somewhere, you know. But it says here, they see the promise, and then it says, and they're persuaded of them. I like that. We're talking about confidence, you know. When you're operating in faith, no matter how far away the promise is, you'll see it. You'll still see it. No matter how long it's going to be before it happens, you'll still see it. No matter how much it's going to take and what you've got to go through to make this thing, turn this thing around, this week, next week, 2 weeks, month, year, 5 years, 10 years. I know that sounds like a lot, but hey, what do you got? You got something else better to do? Now, I can tell you this, 10 years is going to roll. One day you're going to look back and wish you'd bleed for 10 years. Well, I don't think I can bleed for 10 years. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to doubt for 10 years? Well, I'm just so tired of believing God. Well, what are you going to do? Start doubting God? See, those statements we make don't make sense, really. Because if you want to be tired, start doubting God. You'll get tired quick. You'll get wore out, you'll get beat up, you'll get run over. Your life will be a wreck. You will have no hope, and you'll live in darkness and lack of hope and desperation, depression all your life. That's a hard road. It's a lot harder not to believe God than it is to believe God. We often, as Christians, say, you know, it's hard to believe God. Well, no, it takes a man to believe God. It takes a woman to believe God. It takes a real man to stand up for Jesus and a real woman to stand up for Jesus. But I tell you what, your life is so much better by believing it is by not believing. I've been lost. I don't want to go back there. I've been without hope. I'm not going back there. I am not going back there. I come out of that. I'm not going back to that. I've been in despair. I've been empty. I've been in fear. I'm not going back there. I come out of that. I got saved. I got someone to call on. Amen. Still have obstacles, still have trials, still have tests, but I tell you what, believing God's the only way to go. It's the only way to go. I can see the promise many times afar off, but you know what? I still see it, and I am persuaded by it. I am not persuaded by what's going on right here. I'm not persuaded by what I'm feeling in my body. I'm not persuaded by what everybody around me and all the naysayers and all the doom and gloom prognosticators or whatever you want to call them are saying. I'm not persuaded by them. I am persuaded by the promise that I see afar off by faith. I'm persuaded. See, that's what faith is, persuaded by the promise. Faith is not moved or persuaded by feeling. It's not moved or persuaded by circumstance. It's not moved or persuaded by what's going on. It sees past what's going on, and what it sees persuades it. Faith is persuaded by the promise, even though afar off. Woo! I got a promise. Everything's going to be all right. Whoa, I got a promise. Everything's going to be all right. Y'all remember that song? I got a promise. Everything's going to be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. See, you just got to get persuaded by the promise. So, this is one thing they did. They saw the promise far off. They were persuaded of them promises, and they embraced them. Man, isn't that good? They didn't just, you know, mention it from time to time, every once in a while. They wrapped their arms around and held on tight. They embraced the promises. They held on. When you embrace someone, you hold on to someone. There's an adoration. There's a love there. There's compassion there. There's a connection. There's a bonding there when you embrace someone, see? And these that died in faith, these men and women of faith, they embraced God's promises. But now it's incremental, or there are steps to this. They first had to see them, okay? And then they had to be convinced or persuaded by them. And then they embraced them. Because you don't embrace what you're not persuaded by, and you're not persuaded by anything you don't see. Amen. I mean, I've talked to people, you know, and try to encourage them if they can make it and then get out of the mess they're in. And now they'll say, well, you know, I can't see that. I just can't see that. We even use the term, you know, I can't see that. Well, see, that's the problem. You need to start seeing it. You're not going to see it here. I'm not asking you to see it here. We're asking you to see it in the Word, see it in God's Word. See, get out of your natural mind and get into the Spirit. Start developing your spiritual eyesight, not just your natural eyesight. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." We're looking, but we're not looking at the things that are seen. Oh, we look all the time. We're not walking through life with blinders on. We're not blind. Our eyes are wide open. But we're just not looking at the things that are seen. We're looking at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. They'll change. They change every day. But the things which are not seen, God's promises, they are eternal. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or seen or understood. So when we're talking about healing, we're talking about peace, we're talking about heaven, we're talking about joy. We're talking about getting out of the mess you're in. That's a spiritual. We're talking spiritual truth here based on the promises that we see by faith, that we're persuaded by, and that we embrace. We hold it tight. We don't let it go. We're not up and down about it. We're not wishy-washy. We're not in faith one day and out of faith the next. We're holding on. We're embracing this. I mean, we're holding on to this. I remember when Amanda was just a little baby, she wouldn't go anywhere without her blanket. And her blanket actually was part of a one of Brenda's, what was it? Are you, go ahead, what'd you make?
I made a quilt.
Yep, made a quilt.
And it was
green and white check. Well, what was the, who had the?
It was Jonathan.
That was Jonathan. Okay, had the, okay. But anyway, Amanda had this little blanket or quilt, and she took it everywhere she went. She embraced it with her thumb in her mouth. And we'd pull her thumb out, and I quit, get that thumb out of her mouth. And one day, she went and stayed with, was it Granny?
Granny.
Why don't you come tell this story? Because if I, you, Granny took it away. Listen, however it happened, Granny took the thing away, and Amanda started talking. And she hasn't stopped since. Amanda was always real quiet, you know. And it's still kind of, but you get talking, she can talk. But anyway, but she embraced that thing, and I mean, she didn't go anywhere without it. It was like a security blanket. That's what they call it. It's a security. Well, listen, you and I do have a security blanket. It's God's promise. And what you need to do is hold on to it and don't let go of it. Amen? Okay. Got about 5 minutes, and I'll wrap this up. I'll just quit. I mean, I don't know if I'll wrap it up, but I'll quit. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded by them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. I love that. Because they knew that something better was out there, something more than what they saw here. So their confession was that they were a stranger to this world, but they belonged to that world that was coming. Hallelujah. Come on now. See, and sometimes it can be a little more short-term than that. We can also say we're a stranger to this pain, but we belong to healing. Okay? Health is ours. We belong to it. We belong to the promises of God. We are the children of the living God. That's our heritage and our right, or is the promises of God. But you're going to have to confess that you're a stranger to this. This problem is temporary. It's not going to last. It just came to pass, didn't come to stay. Because I am not of this. I may be in this world, but I'm not of this world. Hallelujah. I have promises that God has given me. And I belong to those promises just like they belong to me. I confess that I'm a stranger, a pilgrim in this life. Although I'm passing through it, I'm just passing through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm going through the valley. I'm not going to die in the valley. I'm going through the valley. So faith confesses things. It confesses. It disconnects from the pain, disconnects from the problem, disconnects from the need, disconnects from the obstacle, the test, the trial, whatever hurdle you're trying to jump here. Faith will disconnect from it and not embrace it. Faith will embrace the promise and disconnect from the problem. See, the problem with us is we've embraced the problem disconnected from the promise. Isn't that right? We're just like everybody else, and you know, this old thing just going to happen. There's nothing more we can do about it. And, you know, all that sounds well and good, all that prayer and all that stuff you're talking about. But, you know, I'm just old me, and this is mine. In fact, we claim everything. Everything it's my allergy, it's my cancer, it's my this, it's my that. We just lay claim to it. We embrace it. We hold on to it. Isn't that the truth? Come on, I'm preaching to me too. I'm not hitting anybody over the head. This is not... What is that game where they take that bat and they hit those little mole or gophers that get up? What is that? Whack-a-mole? Okay, yeah. Hey, I'm just preaching the word. This is not whack-a-mole, okay? I'm not whacking you every time you stick your head up. Because I'm there with you. I've done the same thing. But faith doesn't do that. That's what I'm trying to say, and that's what the word says. Faith doesn't embrace the world. Doesn't embrace the need. Faith embraces the promise. Faith's aware of the need, aware of the pain. Come on, we're human. We know about pain. We know about trial. We see it. We don't ignore it. It's not that we don't believe it's there. We don't deny its existence, but we don't embrace it. We shake it off. You know, when Paul was on the Isle of Malta, remember when he stuck his hand into that, they had sticks. They were gathering sticks to make a fire, and he stuck his hand in, and this snake latched on. You know, it says he shook it off. It didn't say he ran around, hey, y'all, look here, I got this snake on. I don't know why I got this snake on me. It seemed like everywhere I go, I got a snake hanging on. I mean, this whole thing is just sucking the life out of me. I mean, I'm in pain, I'm swelling up, it's hurting. I don't know why. Look at that snake. No, he shook it off. Why do we do the opposite of that? Something happens to us, we want to talk about it, tell everybody about it, hang on to it, embrace it. No, you need to shake it off. Shake it off like Paul did. Shake off that snake. Get rid of that snake. Shake off that pain. Shake off that depression. Come on now. Shake it off. And what? And embrace the promise. You want to hold on to something for dear life and don't let go. Hold on to the promise and don't let go. Man, I can't get to all this. I'm going to have to quit this. But just think about that one verse. How much is in that one verse? How much stuff's in there that'll just bless us and put us over the top? Listen, you and I need to see afar off the promise of God. We need to be persuaded by the promise. We need to embrace the promise, and we need to confess we don't belong to the problem. We belong to the promise. We're pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. But what we see by faith is what we belong to. What we see through the Word of God, that's our heritage, that's our right, and that's where we're going. Hallelujah. Amen.